We need the snow. And if you don't want snow and you're happy with the heat, I don't want to hear no complaining about your hair. Ladies, look at me. I'm having a wonderful hair day today. Okay? So, there you go. Oh, it's good to see everyone here this morning. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. It is good to be here with you. I'm going to ask that you turn with me this morning. We're going to continue in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse number 16. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Lord, we're all here, not one of us worthy, but all of us loved. And we thank you. And Lord, we ask for your help and your strength to be your people, to love as you have loved, to care for others as you have cared for us, and to honor you as you have honored us all. And we ask it to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. We have been looking at this for a few weeks now. And you know, we have talked about these first couple, the proud look and the lying tongue. And today we're going to talk about hands that murdering hands. But one thing I want to remind you is that in all of us, the capability of having these kinds of evils within us, it's all there within all of us. And unless we know the goodness of God, we don't know how to escape these things at times. And so I'm just going to point you to Jesus first, right now. You need to turn to Jesus Christ if you're battling anything in life, whether it's something that is considered abomination in his eyes or just sin in his eyes, something that is not pleasing to God. We need to work to remove from out of our life and even to remove the desire of it from our life. And the only way we can do that is to understand Christ, his love for us, and to seek his will in our life. That's the only way we can escape these things. But by the grace of God, there go I. Murdering hands, though, that's not like a proud look and a lying tongue. This is taking another step into a realm where things are really ugly in your life. And I want to ask you this morning, what is it within us that can lead us to the place where we're ready to murder someone? What is it within us that is strong enough to push us to even thinking about killing someone? That's the wickedness within our heart. It's our heart. That's why you got to push these things out by replacing them with the Holy Spirit, with the words of God, and letting them have their place and their control over your heart and your life. That's where it begins. Listen to what is spoken to us. Jesus is teaching in Matthew. He says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, and false witness, and blasphemies." And these are the things that defile a man. See, people are concerned about what defiles themselves. And he was discussing with the Pharisees, you know, they had a strict following. You had to wash your hands before you eat. And Jesus was telling them, it's not eating with dirty hands that defiles the body. It's these things in your heart that defiles your body, defiles your soul. It's within the heart. And it is out of the heart that these evil thoughts and murders and fornications and all of these things proceed from. So if we desire it in our heart, our hands are going to reach. Our feet is going to run. And we've got to learn how to deal with the wickedness within our heart so that we don't stand as an abomination in the eyes of God. Nobody wants to murder anybody, do they? I mean, some people, they wake up and that's the first thing they got on their mind. I'm going to kill my boss today. I'm going to go after that person that cuts me off on Avalon Boulevard today. You know, I don't know what it is that gets the anger within our hearts stirred so much sometimes where we can think so brutally and wish to do such horrible things to other people. But it is the heart. It's a heart that doesn't know Christ. It doesn't know the love of God. It's self-serving. Because only a heart that is self-serving ever gets to the point where it feels like it needs to kill somebody. Because that person offended me. They offended myself. And myself is going to take care of this. And if I can't do it the way I want to, I'll take extreme measures to make sure you're not a problem for me anymore. It is the heart. The heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. And it's evil, and it's wicked, and it is filled with hatred more often than we care to admit. But it is. Proverbs 29 says, the bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. Once we understand that we've got a problem with our heart, we need to also understand how to deal with that heart. And that's by going to God and finding peace with God and instruction and guidance from God. And he's given us his word. He tells us how we should deal with these things. We need to trust God, to follow God and understand we do not want to be bloodthirsty against someone who is blameless, especially someone who is blameless. But we don't want to be bloodthirsty people at all, do we? How many of you are bloodthirsty people? I got to tell you a little funny here. How many of you in here believe in vampires? Nobody believes in vampires. I tell you, it's because y'all ain't paying attention. Listen to me now. My wife and her family, we go to a steakhouse to get a steak. They want blood running out of that thing. Now, I'm telling you, when I sit down with somebody like that, I'm wondering if they're looking at my arm when we're not at a steakhouse, you know? It makes sense, right? Y'all never thought of it that way, but let me tell you. You watch them when you get to the steakhouse and they cut that thing and they see blood coming out. Boy, their eyes get big. Oh, that's perfect there. I'm like, bloodthirsty. Well, we have a little fun with that, but how many of us are bloodthirsty people, though? Really? Have you ever had hatred in your heart so much that you wanted to just kill somebody? Hurt them really bad? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you have. But even within our heart, Jesus has taught us that if we hate someone within our heart, we may as well have killed them. Because that's how deep it goes. And murdering hands, y'all, they are an abomination in the eyes of God. And Jesus explains to us, it's deeper, it's greater than just saying, well, I've never killed anybody. Have you ever wanted to? And it goes so deep, it's into the heart of us all. That is what makes us the abomination before God. Our heart. That's where we must begin. The bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright will seek his well-being. Here is a perfect example, scripturally provided, to illustrate what I'm trying to tell you with this verse. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Killed him. Killed his brother. Boy, Adam and Eve, can you imagine what they must have felt? I mean, they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They had never seen a sparrow die. They didn't know what death was. They were told if they did something they weren't supposed to do, they would surely die. They did it. Not knowing what death really was, they'd never said goodbye to their parents. They never said goodbye to a sibling. They never said goodbye to a child. They didn't. What was death to them? Oh, they're learning quick, aren't they? God killed the lamb to clothe them with skins, and now they have two children, and one turns against the other and kills him because his offering was not acceptable in the eyes of God. And there's a spiritual truth I want you to catch right here. We can't just stand before God and say, take me as I am or leave me, because guess what? You're going to get left behind. Abel's offering was accepted because he had done it in like manner which God had done for his father and his mother to clothe them with skin. And Abel just comes with his offering of the fruit, and you know, I've mentioned this to you previously, spiritually speaking, he comes with the fruit because he's a farmer, right? And it's not like his fruit wasn't worthy of bringing before God, but not in this situation. Whatever this particular offering was, God said that's not acceptable. He came, imagine Cain bringing an apple and setting it before God, saying, "Say, here's an apple, God. This is the same thing that Mom and Dad got kicked out of the garden for, but I'm bringing you one. You can have this one. You can put it back where they took there, though." Yeah. People stand before God and they say, this is who I am. I'm going to be this way. You can take it or leave it. And God's going to leave that. He told Cain, don't get angry what I'm telling you. Do what's right. If you do what's right, don't you know that I'll accept what you're doing and I'll accept you into my presence and you'll be just as happy as your brother? But Cain said, I'm not going to do it. It's going to be my way or the highway. And before he left town, he killed his brother. It's a wicked heart. It will not submit to God. Bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. If Cain was an upright man, he would have said, forgive me, Father. And in his talk with his brother Abel, he'd have said, Abel, I need one of those lambs. You think Abel would have denied him? I don't. Not for a second. But it wasn't good enough. Cain had to be his own man. And he killed his brother. Serving himself. You know what? If I can't be the example, I'll remove the example that was put before me. That's what people do. Abel being the example, and Cain took him out. Now we have another example with Cain, but it's not the one he wanted to be. And it's the one that so many still follow today, because they cannot control wickedness within their heart. Even within the church, it is the wickedness within the heart that causes people to rise up against others and with their hands, whether they do it physically or whether they do it through character assassination. They are murdering souls. People who have ever left church because of church members and have walked away from God, those church members are accountable for what they have done because of the wickedness within their heart. And they will give an account. Jesus said in John chapter 16, that the church will not be immune, not from the beginning with the synagogue and not through the church in our day and age today. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God his service. And this is what's amazing, that people that live this kind of life of assassination, they think they're serving God. Blind. Blind. How can we get into a place where we are so blind about who we are in the eyes of God? Well, it begins by not really challenging ourselves on a regular basis, not asking ourselves, am I really meeting God's will in my life? Or am I projecting my own first? It all begins in the heart. And it's the heart that we must learn to deal with. We've got to give it to God. We've got to give it to Christ, so that He can wash us and make us clean and help us to understand and to guide us and to lead us in paths of righteousness, and not in paths of serving self. Remember, that's what the problem was with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They couldn't accept Jesus for many reasons, but more than anything else, he wasn't their idea of the Messiah. Not you. Where did you come from? You know, we can't look on somebody's life and say, oh, where did you come from? Look where Christ came from. And yet He's the Savior of the world. And there is no other name given among men which is more greater or more powerful or more wonderful than the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I can't be more thankful that He came and lived a life of rejection to show us that even the lowest among us can find peace with Him. And not just peace, but hope and joy and life everlasting. And our eyes being opened to what wickedness is, what evil in our heart is. That's why it's good to look at these passages like this in Proverbs, so we can understand those times I've had a proud look in my life. I need to be ashamed. Those times when I haven't been able to tell the truth, I need to be ashamed. Those times when I have been so filled with anger, I wanted to just hurt, and if it led to killing, whether it was planned or not, I just need to be ashamed. Because I have hated so much and so thoroughly. Why can't God's love fill me with such completeness and so thoroughly as hate can? Have I really made room for Him? Have I really given him control of our life? Or have I really just become like one of those who is most famous among us, whose name was Judas? Because God doesn't serve my needs and do it the way I think it needs to be done, I'm going to pay to have somebody take this dude out. You know, those 30 pieces of silver, they became weighty upon his heart and his soul. He went back to them and said, I've done something wrong. He tried to give it back. And they said, oh, we paid you for the service. You've completed all we need. You know, the one place he didn't go was back to Christ. He didn't go back to Jesus. He didn't cry out to the Father. Why? Because he didn't really know him, did he? And all of that time, seeing the things that he saw, being part of the things he was part of, he did not know Jesus. And what a sad story it is for the church today to have people sit in the congregations and to sing and to celebrate and not really know Jesus. Because they're ready to kill as soon as they get on the highway. God is calling us to be changed, to become a new creation in Him, and to challenge our life every day that we are not in the mold of these things, that we don't become the wolf. We are the sheep among wolves. We're not the wolf. God's not calling us to be a wolf. He's calling us to carry a testimony of love, of compassion, of caring and honoring. It doesn't matter who that person is. I know you're going to run into people that you just can't get along with. If you haven't, in your life yet, ever run into someone you just can't get along with, I promise you that's coming. Most of us have. Anybody ever not had an experience like that? You just get along with everybody? Anybody in here just get along with everybody? That's what I thought. How many of us just always get along with Christ and His leading in our life? You know, you got to handle both of those people the same way. One's just a person and one's our Savior. You got to love that one that you can't get along with. And you got to always love the one that's your Savior. And if the time requires it, the situation requires it, you got to ask both to forgive you. Both. So that you can try to build those relationships. God is calling us to be His people and to be better about it than we are most of the time. But for certain, He wants us to get rid of all of this hate and evilness out of our heart. We should never get to a point where our hands are ready to reach and cause harm. Should not be part of our life. We are sheep among the wolves. And as sheep among the wolves, there is a prayer that we should carry with us. I'll share this with you out of Psalms 59. And I'll close with this. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. Father, I'm in the world with the testimony of love and of hope, of eternal life. And there will be people who will hate me because of your testimony. They will even think, some of them, that they're doing service to you because they harm me. Father, keep me safe. Deliver me from these workers of iniquity and save me from those bloodthirsty men. I'm doing your will. I'm following your call. I'm going to look upon you and tomorrow. Always, your will be done. Your will be done and not mine. My challenge to you, don't let your heart lead you into a position of offense before God. And if you're here today and you don't know God as Lord and Savior, if you don't have Jesus and His forgiveness in your life, now's the time to find it. And now's the time to move forward with Christ. Don't wait until you get everything straightened out. God didn't call you to get everything straightened out first. He said, come now and let's work this out. You come now and you profess Jesus as Lord and Savior and you begin to take that walk in the newness of life as He gives you, and you grow and you deal with yourself as He teaches you, because He will teach you. And as you grow, you'll find that the lessons keep continuing because you're still you. And you still have so much work that needs to be done with you. All of us do. But God is calling us all to begin. We have to take the first step. And the first step is in faith and repentance. And I'm calling you today, as Christ is calling to all who will come. The altar is open. His love is never ending, and His peace is always with you if you can give Him your heart. Will you come today while the altar is open? Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you again that you have seen past who we are and look to who we can be in you, and have reached out to all of us and cradle us all in the palm of your hand and strengthen us and teach us. Lord, I am so thankful that your forgiveness and your love is never ending. Help us, I pray, to be your people again and to honor you as you have honored us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?